1 Timothy chapter 1. I was reading the book of 1 Timothy yesterday in my devotions, and something stood out to me and got my attention. And I just really got to meditating on it and jotting down a few things really for myself, really. And just kind of gleaning from it from a personal perspective. And you ought to do that as you read the Word of God. You ought to jot down some things as God speaks to you. If you read the Word of God and God does not speak to you through the Word of God, there is a problem. Hello? That's right. If you pray and God doesn't hear, there's a problem. But when God converses with us through His Word, and we can read chapters of it and not get anything. Amen. I know some of the Old Testament scriptures, you know, and you read all the begets and all that. I know you can get lost in some of that. But I'm talking about, you know, New Testament, or like the verse of scripture that Miss Tara talked about. I mean, that verse spoke to her. You know, how long has it been since God has spoke to you from His Word? Or that you have spoke to Him and you knew you had access to His ear. You had audience with the King when you prayed. Amen. If we don't get back to that, we're, you know, with the burdens that was given out in this service tonight, I'm really surprised that a spirit of prayer didn't fall on this church. Really, I thought a spirit of prayer ought to fell on this church. I mean, there's people here that don't even know how they're going to make it with the issues and family matters that's going on in their life. And we probably, what, less than 10 minutes in the altar? General praying is heartless praying. If you just run over a list, Lord, you see the list, and Joe, Jim, John, and Sue, and Sally, and Henry, and just real heartless, count on it, it won't go nowhere. Amen. General praying never gets an answer. Specific praying gets an answer. A prayer with heart gets an answer. May we get serious about bearing the burdens of others. And the hardest time for you to do that is when everything's going pretty well in your life. You know, everything's going pretty well in your life, and you kind of get caught up with that, and you don't realize or you lose sight of the others around you that's really got their back against the wall. 1 Timothy 1, we'll stand if you'd like to in reverence to the reading of the Scripture. And I'm just going to give you a little devotional, I guess. This is just some things the Lord spoke to my heart about. Didn't really plan on preaching it tonight. And I couldn't get away from it. It just kept feeding me and speaking to me and challenging me. So we're going to deal with it tonight. Verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. Verse 6, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, disobedient, for the ungodly, and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. We'll stop reading right there for sake of time. You can be seated. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Father, thank you again for the privilege, Lord, of being in your house. And I pray, God, that you will speak to me and through me. Help me, dear Lord, to say nothing more, nothing less than, God, that which would be honorable and pleasing, Lord, in your sight. I pray now that we'd have a spiritual mind, and Lord, you'd help the people listening tonight to get beyond the physical and Lord, have a spiritual ear, Lord, to want to hear, thus saith the Lord. And it is a blessing to be in church tonight, and Lord, still have a measure of freedom, Lord, that we have in this country, and we're thankful. Lord, I pray your will to be done. Help us to do while we can, Lord, with what we have, so that, Lord, when we cannot, and that we would not look back and wish we would have when we could have. Have your way tonight, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was reading this book yesterday in my devotions, this entire book, the first chapter, and there was one word that stuck out to me as I read down through these verses, and that is in verse number 6. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. That word swerved got my attention, and I just began to, immediately start making some notes, and my mind started going, and meditation and things. God just started speaking to my heart about it. And I looked it up. That word swerved means to deviate from. To deviate from. It also means to miss the mark. Did you know that's what one of the definitions of the word sin is to miss the mark. It also means to err. In fact, there's two other times that the Holy Spirit uses this same Greek word as used in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 21, as the word erred, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. That's the same word as the word here translated swerved. And then in 2 Timothy 2:18, which concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrew the faith of some. The word err, swerve, meaning to miss the mark. Also, I didn't mention this, there's another part of that definition is meaning to miss your aim, to miss your mark, to miss your aim. And I believe a lot of people in church have lost their aim. I believe they've lost their focus. What we're focusing on is so many things. And, you know, in shooting a bow or shooting a gun or, shooting a foul shot or shooting, there's that aim is crucial. If you don't aim well, you won't hit well. To aim at nothing is to hit it every time. And I began to look at that and began to think about just that thought of swerving. Are you swerving tonight? And you may not be swerving tonight, but there may be a tendency for you to swerve tomorrow, to deviate tomorrow, to miss the mark, to lose your aim, to lose your aim. What are you aiming at with your spiritual life? Amen. I believe the aim is very important. I believe how you look is, and I'm talking about how you're looking with your eyes, I believe that has a lot to do with how you live. You're going where you're looking most of the time. And so I want to just deal with this, some things the Lord spoke to my heart about, and I've took it personal, and I hope that God will maybe speak to your heart with it. Let me just say that swerving, first of all, is losing your aim, resulting in you missing the mark. You're going to miss God's purpose for your life if you swerve. And I believe that's what the devil wants you to do as a believer, is to swerve. His ultimate desire would be to get you in reverse. But if he can't get you in reverse, and that is going backwards, start backing up on everything, then he would be satisfied with you swerving, with you swerving. Also, I note that swerving means that you're crossing the lines, as in an automobile. When you're driving your automobile and you catch yourself swerving, what are you doing? You're crossing the lines. You're crossing over boundaries. You're crossing over limitations. You're crossing over and you're starting to enter into areas of danger. You're getting out of direction and you're starting to get into the a danger zone. When you cross the line. So swerving means, indicates in that, with that illustration, that you're crossing the lines. And could you imagine driving on American highways without lines? I just came back from the Philippines, my second trip, and they have lines on their roads. They have a few red lights, nothing fancy, a few red lights. And you know, they have stop signs. And I asked them one time, because I couldn't drive over there. I'd be killed before I got to the grocery store, or I would have killed a bunch of people. I mean, it is just a reckless chaos is all it is, and nobody ever hits nobody. Just they're horn and brakes. And I asked them, I said, what are those lines on the road for, and what's those red lights for, and what are those stop signs for? They said, it's just suggestions. And they drive like it too, buddy. I mean, they just soon jump, pull out, and I mean, go that way in four lanes of traffic coming head on, and they just boom, and then they'll just cut in right in front of somebody and hope that the horn works. Right. But listen, swerving means you crossing the lines, and you ought to keep your eye on your spiritual life to the point that you know when you're crossing the line. You do that when you're driving. You know when you're crossing the line. If you cross the one on the right, you're going to be in the ditch or on a sidewalk or hit somebody. Or if you cross on the left, you're going to be in somebody else's lane. And so swerving means you're crossing the lines. And I'm seeing a lot of that in our day in churches, just like we're sitting in tonight. People are crossing the lines. They're crossing over boundaries. Those lines says don't. That's not your zone over there. That's a danger zone. You're traveling here. You're traveling in this direction. And so swerving means you're crossing the line. Swerving also means that you're, and I've already said this, but you're leaving the lane of direction for your life and you're moving into the lane of danger of your life. And a lot of people's doing that. They're doing that spiritually. He's talking here about Timothy. He's telling Timothy, some have swerved and turned aside unto vain jangling. And so people need to take note how important it is and how dangerous it is to swerve. And you can swerve, and I can swerve, and we all have spiritually. We all have crossed the lines. We all have got out of the direction that God wants us to be in. But swerving is not looked upon as something mild or something light. It's dangerous. It can actually be fatal. It can actually be deadly. And so swerving means you're leaving the lane of direction for your life and you're entering the lane of danger. People have actually been killed due to somebody swerving out of their lane, crossing the lines. There have been people killed. Amen? And if the law sees you, they'll pull you over. If they see you swerving, crossing the lines, they will pull you over. Why? Because they know that it's a matter of time you're going to kill somebody. Have you ever seen anybody that was all over the road, swerving all over the road? I was traveling between Knoxville and Chattanooga, headed to Florida to preach, and there was a Mustang come by me just a-flying. And they were all over the road. I mean, they just barely, I'm talking about inches, were missing people, just inches. 18-wheeler, just cut right in front of them and swerve over into this lane. And usually I don't pay a whole lot of attention to that, but that was excessive swerving. And I knew that they were going to get killed or they was going to kill somebody or both. If they continued on that interstate with that kind of, I mean, it was a woman driver. I mean, I just had to throw that in there. But I felt responsible that I needed to report them. And so I got on my cell phone and I called the highway patrol and I reported them. I told them exactly what they were driving. They asked where I was as far as the mile marker. And I stayed in behind them and kept my eye on them. And they found out, and they radioed back and told me that they had a highway patrol sitting at certain mile marker, and that they was waiting. And when we drove by, I flashed my lights, and buddy, he come out from the side and he pulled them over. And I don't know whatever happened to that. I went on my way, amen. But I thought they're going to kill somebody because they're swerving every which way. They're dangerous. And boy, listen, if you're swerving in your spiritual life, which means to deviate from truth, to deviate from what God has worked in your heart, to deviate from your convictions that God has put in your heart. Amen. I'm seeing that everywhere I go. People at one time stood a certain way and they had convictions in their life, but their convictions is being challenged, and many of them are compromising, and they're saying, well, you know, maybe I was just caught up in a fad and a fashion back then. Maybe I was just influenced by the preacher or by preaching or whatever, and they're starting to second guess things that God has worked in their life, and they're just starting to swerve, and it's dangerous. And I just want to give you this. Look at verse number 6. You're not just going to swerve, and that's all there are to it. Look what the Bible said. From which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. When you get into that swerving, your spiritual life is swerving. Everybody following me? Everybody know what we're talking about? When your spiritual life is deviating and swerving back and forth, and that's an element of inconsistency. You know, they're over here one Sunday, and they're over here one Sunday, and they're just swerving. They swerve in on Sunday morning, and then they swerve out on Sunday night. And, you know, they're just inconsistent and unfaithful and unpredictable. You can't have any confidence in somebody that's swerving. Would you ride with somebody that has a bad issue of swerving? Come on, man or woman. Would you? Oh, you can ride with me to town. No, you're bad about swerving. You're always crossing the lines. You're always going toward the ditch, or you're going toward oncoming traffic. You say, no, I believe I'll just walk. You know why? You don't have confidence in somebody like that. In fact, you won't even follow somebody like that. I don't even want to follow somebody like that. In fact, thank God for passing zones. And I've even created a few passing zones to get around people like that. Say amen, Brother Brad. I know you have. That's right. But to turn aside, listen, if the devil can work swerving into your spiritual life, get you deviating and erring from truth and standard. See, those lines in the road is a standard. They're not up for discussion. When you get in that lane and you're driving, it's not, well, I don't really feel like driving in this lane today. I believe I'm going to get over here and drive in this other lane. Or I'm going to get on the sidewalk and run it a while. No, it's not up for discussion. That's a standard. That means deviating from the standard. But here's the thing that caught my attention about that term to turn aside. That word to turn aside is in the medical sense. It is used in a medical description to identify dislocated limbs. How many of you ever had a dislocated shoulder, dislocated arm, or leg, or knee, or whatever? But that's awful, and that's hard to deal with. When something gets out of its location, it's dislocated. It's out of its proper place. It's not where. It's not in that fixed position that it needs to be in. Oh, it may still be called an arm. It still may be on the where it was at, but it's out of joint. It's out of place. And as a result, it produces pain, and it produces limitations of ability, and it causes problems for the rest of the body, right? And so it's a serious thing tonight for you to swerve, because what's going to follow that is that you're going to turn aside. You're going to become dislocated. You're going to be out of place. You're going to be out of your place. And amen. And you're and when that happens, a dislocated arm or finger or hand or leg or whatever, listen, when it happens like that, though it still has the identity with the body, it's of no use. You can't do anything with it. You have to pet it. Come on now. You have to pamper it and pet it. Why? It's hurting. It's injured. It's got a lot of problems. So but swerving will lead to that. The Bible said they, having swerved, have turned aside. They got out of joint. They become dislocated. And that's the same term that Paul was using in Galatians chapter number 5, I believe it is, isn't it? Or is it chapter 6, verse 1, where he's talking about the brother being overtaken in a fault? Is that where, Brother Randy? It's 6. I believe it's 6. Well, that's a medical term. A brother being overtaken in a fault, restore such a one. That has the idea of putting a limb back in its place. It's out of place, and put it back in place. And so swerving leads to that. And so I just wanted to point that out because I don't want us to think lightly of swerving tonight. And some of you may have started, you hadn't wrecked. Spiritually, you hadn't wrecked yet, but you're starting to swerve. You keep your eye on your own spiritual life because your hands are on the steering wheel of your life. Amen. And if you're swerving, guess whose fault it is? And that's what I want to deal with. Just to give you a few things here. Number one, swerving is personal. Swerving is personal. That's right. You amen. Swerving is always your fault. If I'm not where I need to be spiritually, it is my fault. Where we are in our day is that most people does the blame game, or they do the victim card. Oh, you know, I'm unfaithful to church because of this and this and this, or them and those and her and him, and you're blaming somebody else. No, your hands is on the steering wheel of your spiritual life, and if you're in the ditch, it's your problem. It's your fault. Amen. That's right. You can't blame the car. What's wrong with this car? It swerves all the time. Well, if you're driving a Chevrolet, you might be able to do that. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But it's personal. Swerving is personal. Amen. Swerving indicates an attention problem. Swerving indicates that you got your mind on something else instead of staying in that lane, instead of staying, where you're supposed to be. Boy, isn't that easy to do? Isn't that easy to do? Get your eye on somebody else. Get your eyes on your problems. Get your eyes on things. And my goodness, that is dangerous, isn't it? Because I promise you, if you look back, you're going to swerve. There ain't no way you can keep going straight and looking back. Amen. I mean, that's even implied in Luke chapter 9. He that put his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. What he's talking about was you're going to plow all kinds of crooked roads and everything. If you look back, how many of you looking back? Don't answer that out loud. How many is starting? The devil gets you looking back at what your old life, things that you used to do. And he'll start trying to entice you with that and start trying to allure you with that. But just simply that swerving is personal. It's an attention problem. It's an attention problem. Amen? Attention problem may be caused of drowsiness. Come on now. How many have swerved driving because you were drowsy? When I used to drive back and forth from North Carolina, where I live, to South Carolina to Bible college, we'd drive back and forth every night. And I want to tell you, the first year I went by myself. And the second year I had others to go with me and so forth. But that first year I went by myself, worked all day, get in the car, drive to Tabernacle in Greenville, sat in classes, and some of them was boring as everything. English of all things. God help us. I take my hat off people that knows English. Amen. I try to study, though. I try to learn. If it sounds good, that's what I go off of. If it flows, it's got to be right. If it's, But, and I'm telling you, Miss Paul Sue, sometimes coming back home, I don't even know how I got home. I'd wake up many times going off the road. And I'm not talking about off in a ditch. I'm talking about off a bluff, you know, off a cliff, off of an embankment. Or just rouse up a little bit back before you hit a mailbox or, you know, or something. And just the grace of God. Drowsiness, getting sleepy and drogging. Oh, that'll cause a swerving in your spiritual life. I wonder how many's getting drogging, drowsy. Your perception is dull. I mean, I was in such bad shape, I would stick my head out the window, Brother Carroll, and I'm talking about winter time. And I mean, it would freeze me. I'd have my head out the window with that ice cold air hitting me in the face and still nearly go out. Just be wore out. Just be tired. How I passed, I don't know. But anyway, Lord help me. I know that. But it's personal. And let me say this, swerving is a potential. Don't ever say, well, I've arrived. I've got my spiritual life in the standard, in the lane, and I'm going forward, and I'm progressing, and I'm gaining ground, and everything's wonderful. Yeah, I've been there. But then I went from there to swerving as well. I'll be transparent. Hey, man, we can let your husband or wife testify. We'll find out if you've been swerving. Amen. But it's not unless it's personal, but it's also potential. It can happen. You swerving, deviating, erring can happen. And you need to go. I need to guard against that. You need to guard against that. It's a potential. It can happen, and it can happen quickly. How many of us know how quickly you can cross the lines? How quickly you can get in the area of danger? Oh, yeah. I've been surprised at my own life how quickly I can go from here spiritually to here. Just a one choice deal, just one choice, and your spiritual level is gone. Amen. You lose ground. But not only is it personal, it's a potential, but swerving, listen, this is simple, but it's what the Lord spoke to me about. Swerving is done in the path of progress. Swerving don't happen when you're not moving. Swerving don't happen when you're stopped. Swerving happens when you're moving and you're progressing and you're gaining ground. Listen. You say, praise God, I'm moving. I'm gaining ground. That's when swerving can take place. And the faster you're moving spiritually, and I don't think any of us have much problems with that, but just in case somebody here is moving and progressing, advancing really fast spiritually, swerving is magnified. Just the least look, the least distraction, man, you can be plumb gone quickly. But it's in the path of progress that swerving is discovered in a forward direction. And I said it earlier, if the devil can't get you in reverse, he'll be satisfied with getting you to swerving. Get you to swerve. Amen. And then let me mention this quickly. I got several things, but let me just mention this. Swerving can become a pattern. It can be something that reoccurs. You swerved back there, but you corrected it. You got back in your lane. You realize, oh man, that was dangerous. I could have been killed or killed somebody. I could have been hurt or hurt somebody. That was bad. And you corrected it. And then down the road, you do it again. How many of us don't raise your hand? I started to ask the question, how many of us in here have been defeated by the same things more than once? I mean the same curve. You cross the line. The same area, you cross the line. The same area, you swerve. And so it can become a pattern. It can become that which is repetitious, that which is reoccurring. And you don't want to follow somebody like that, do you? Because they will influence you. If you're following them and you're focusing on them and they start swerving, if you're not real careful, they'll cause you to follow them. That you'll cross the lines too. Paul said, be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ Jesus. Paul said, follow me, but if I deviate, Paul said, if I swerve, if I become unChristlike, then don't follow me. Only follow me as I follow Christ. And so whoever is your influence in life, whoever you are following in the walk of life, listen, there's nothing wrong with following them as long as they're within the lines of the Scripture. Amen. Setting a good example. But when they start to cross the lines, when they start to budge the boundaries, you need to say, look, we'll be friends, but I can't do that. I'm not going to follow you. In fact, if I get a chance here, I'm going to pass you. I'm going to get around you. That's right. Amen. And then, listen to this. Not only is it a pattern, but also it can be painful. It can be painful. It can be hurtful. It can be fatal. I was watching something the other day. I don't remember if it was online or if it was on the television or whatever, but I was watching something. It was the Highway Patrol giving they'd put this little clip together about not texting and driving, and it showed vehicles, you know, just out on the road, and it showed these girls in their vehicle. It's three or four of them in a vehicle, and they were laughing and cutting up and so forth, you know, doing what girls do, I guess, laughing and giggling and so forth. And they were texting and showing each other their phones. Well, then the camera showed that car starting to go across the line. And then it showed oncoming traffic. And then it showed the swerve actually resulted in a head-on collision. Of course, it was all, you know, it was all put together to drive home a point. And I just thought about that. And I've seen others like that too, and you have as well. Can you imagine having to live with that? Somebody is dead or mangled up because I swerved. Can you imagine having to live with that? I try to just imagine what it'd be like to have to live with that. I don't know. Listen, if you swerve spiritually, it's going to hurt somebody. It's going to hurt you, probably going to hurt your family, hurt some in your family, going to hurt some in your church. Amen. You know, so don't swerve. Don't deviate. Don't lose your aim. Stay aiming. Stay focused on the aim, the goal, the direction, the destiny. Amen. And realize that you can swerve. You can do that. But it can be painful. And then, I'll just close with this one. It don't have to be permanent. You may be here tonight and you're starting to see this in your own life. In fact, swerving, it can be so gradual at the first, you don't even detect it. You don't detect that at the first unless you're really paying attention. It's usually when you've done crossed the line that you realize, oh man, I better pay attention. I better realize where I'm at and what I'm doing. I've lost my aim. I lost my focus. I've deviated. But it don't have to be permanent. It don't have to be permanent. Here's why. Because you've got a steering wheel, you've got brakes, and you have a knowledge of where you're supposed to be. You have a steering wheel that can turn your direction back to where it needs to be. You've got brakes that can slow you down from going the wrong direction or even stop you from going the wrong direction. And you also, thank God, from parental guidance and teaching and from preaching, from reading the Word of God, amen, and from influence of other people, you have a knowledge of where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing. You know where your lane is at. You know where your joy is at. You know where your happiness is at. Amen. So if you, listen, tonight, if you're swerving, you've got in that swerving, you're swerving, starting to swerve. Spiritually starting to swerve. You got your hands on the steering wheel. You can turn it back to where you need to be. Amen. And you got brakes in your spiritual life. You see yourself going in the wrong direction, you can certainly slow down. And you can certainly put your foot on the spiritual brakes. And then you can go back to where you know you're supposed to be. I'm supposed to be in that lane. I'm supposed to be driving in that lane. Those lines are my lines. That's my boundaries. That's my direction. That's my aim. That's my destiny that I'm headed for. And so I just felt like that. I mean, God just spoke to my heart about that, about swerving. And you can look through the book of 1 Timothy. You can look through the book of 1 Timothy. And by the way, let me just show you this. Let me just mention this real quick. In 1 Timothy, not only after they had turned aside unto vain jangling, which is just empty babble, empty speech, say nothing, meaningless speech, the next verse said, desiring to be teachers. It moves into the area to where you're not qualified to teach somebody else, but you're going to be teaching. You're going to be teaching. If you swerve, you're going to teach others to swerve. If you deviate from truth, and amen, and I'm glad we have the standard. Truth is not up for discussion. It don't matter what tag or sign is on the church sign out in the front. That doesn't indicate truth altogether. This book right here will stand when the world's on fire about what is truth, about what is the lines, about what is the standard. And you listen, it would do you well, all of us in here, young and old alike, it would do you well to affirm afresh tonight what your lines are. I can't do that right there. That's crossing the line. I can't go here. That crosses the lines. I can't do that. I can't talk this way. I can't watch that. I can't listen to this. Whatever it is, know what your lines are and stay in them. And don't swerve. Amen. We're in a day where swerving spirituality is promoted. That's right. Don't stand on nothing. Don't really believe nothing. Just kind of be a generic Christian. I'm glad Jesus wasn't a generic Christ. I'm glad he wasn't swerving in his earthly walk. I'm glad he was true, stayed true. So I had just a little message on out of my devotion yesterday morning, actually on swerving. Paul told Timothy there's been some that have swerved. Some of you have deviated, got your eye off the aim. And if you don't aim good, you won't hit good. I learned that in shooting archery. You get online and you get all that pressure and your nerves are just like this, and that pin you're trying to aim is a waving at you. It's a wonder you can even hit the wall, much less the target. And if you don't aim well, you won't hit what you're aiming at. You won't hit good. So may God just use this simple message tonight to stir us to paying attention to our spiritual direction, that we don't swerve. Don't be influenced by others that are swerving. Don't let other people cause you to swerve. You are your own, your spirituality is your own responsibility, right? You've heard that hundreds of times, and we'll yet hear it hundreds of times if Jesus don't come. Amen. You're responsible for your spiritual life. Don't swerve. Don't be influenced by anything that's going on. I know that's elementary. That's an elementary statement. But how many have we seen come through this church that we've heard testify that this is my line, this is my lane, this is what I'm going to do. And next thing you know, romance comes into the picture, or a job comes into the picture, or money comes into the picture, and prosperity comes in, and materialism comes in, and they catch the glitter of the world, and the glamour of the world gets their attention, pulls their aim off course, and next thing you know, they've crossed all the lines, and their life is a wreck tonight. Their life is an absolute wreck and a mess tonight. I've had them to tell me, and I'm talking about recently, preacher, I have messed my whole life. My whole life is nothing but a wreck. And saying it with tears. The devil's lied to me, and my whole life is a wreck. I have failed in every area of life. That's what happens when you don't have any lines in your life. You don't have any boundaries, and it's just a free-for-all wherever you want to drive and whatever you want to do and ever how you want to talk and live and whatever you want to do is a free-for-all life. Listen, your life is going to be a wreck. Your life is going to be without purpose. But when you've got to aim, amen. Paul kept his focus on that, didn't he? I pressed toward the mark. I know there's a lot of distractions going on here, but my aim's out there on the mark, the finish line. And may that be so with us tonight. Let's all stand our feet.